Hello, we are live with the Room Escape Divas. We are trying to record this, and so we are trying new technology. We're using Google Hangouts. This is episode number 25. We're super excited because we have two people online who are doing this amazing event in December called the Drosselmeyer Club. It might not actually be called Club Drosselmeyer, and it's an extravaganza of puzzle events, dancing, musician back in the 1930s, and it sounds amazing. And so we desperately wanted to interview these people. We have two people who are heavily involved. One is Kellyanne, Adam Pletcher.
Adam's Pletcher.
And then we also have Carly, whose last name I did not get, sadly, but
we're all Dwyer Knight.
Yes. So it's not that I didn't do my research. She joined us just now, so it's great. So I'm super happy to have you guys
cover
on.
Your butt. That's yes. Right.
So we should probably tweet this or something like that.
Do you
that
have
this
a is link?
No. Why would I have a link? I have
because you've listed it as unlisted. So
oh,
you know.
Oh, I did. Oh. Yeah. Oh, look, here's a link. There you go. Can YouTube
you,
page.
Can you share it?
Oh, while we I can share it somewhere.
Do this.
Yeah. So,
how are you guys in all the technology mess?
Yeah. You talk to them while I try and figure stuff out.
I have some very important news. I just found out today that it is actually impolite to have the pinky out when you are drinking tea. I think you must be probably I didn't know this. I've been drinking impolite tea all my life.
Because we've been told lies.
Anyway, what I'd like for you guys to do is people can only see me. That's rather sad, but they can see you two, man pants. But if you want, if you can just tell us a little about yourselves and also about this cool thing called Club Drosselmeyer, how it relates to escape rooms, how it relates to just fun and entertainment in general. That'd be great.
All right, Carly, want me to take a stab at it first?
Sure. And then, yeah. Take a stab at it first.
Okay, and then you take a stab at it. Okay, so Carly and I, we're a different type of team because I'm a game designer and Carly is a theater person. And my background, I've had a company called Green Door Labs for about 5 years now, and we work mostly with nonprofits and location-based games. And so we got probably our best-known game is called Murder at the Met. It's at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and we've also done a couple of games with Sony, and we have a really great game that's running right now at the Old North Church here in Boston, and Boston Children's Museum. But so I've been working with location-based games for a while. I have a platform called The Adventure Builder, and we do an awful lot of work with scavenger hunts and choose your own adventures and build your own stuff with The Adventure Builder. And I've always been sort of a fan of theater, and I was really excited about immersive theater like Sleep No More and Then She Fell, just all this awesome stuff that's happening in L.A., and of course, a lot of it sort of started, the nurdle of it started in Boston. So Sleep No More originally, the very early version of Sleep No More happened in Boston. And there was also Natasha and Patrick in the Great Comet of 1812. That's another immersive theater program that's in New York right now. And that started in Boston. But I was kind of sad that they kept saying that these theater experiences were immersive and interactive, but they weren't really interactive. You know, I was still an audience. I was still just the spectator watching them have all the fun. And, of course, when escape rooms came on to the scene, my husband and I were just totally crazy about them. We've flown through a million escape rooms. We get to have so much fun with them. And escape rooms, I really thought that they had the interactive part. So you'd go into an escape room, it's like, yes, I'm part of this, I'm part of the story, I can interact. But they didn't always have the storyline. You know, sometimes the story would just like drop out in the middle, or sometimes the story just wouldn't pull all the way through. And as a storyteller and a game designer, an interactive storyteller, I was like, oh man, I really want that story to be such a strong part of it. You know, story is really important to me. And so that's when we came up with this idea of Club Drosselmeyer, where we would marry immersive theater and escape rooms so that we had this fully immersive, interactive story world that you could interact with all of the NPCs, the non-player characters, the actors, and the environment, and you can solve puzzles and sort of be part of the story. So that's sort of where we started from. And then it was kind of a daunting task, and I was like, oh God, how am I going to do this? Because I know how to build the game part, but how do you build the theater part? And that's where I met Carly at an immersive, interactive theater game jam.
Yeah. So, so actually I ended up at the game jam because I'm a theater person. I teach theater. I run the theater program at Concord Carlisle High School out here just west of Boston. I've been doing theater my whole life. And then in college, this is an embarrassing story, but I'll be honest about it. In college, a really cute guy asked me to be his healer in a LARP. And I was like, whatever. I didn't know what that meant, but he was really cute. So I went and I loved it. And so I started LARPing when I was about 18, and I would have never considered myself a gamer. I loved the idea that it was a style of theater that the audience had autonomy. I would LARP for a really long time. I kind of let my nerd flag fly really high. Then when I got into education, I started teaching students. I brought LARPing with me, and I've been working a lot on developing educational LARPing. What I find really interesting about LARPing as a game is, again, it's an audience autonomous game and art form, so that anything can happen. Like, you have rules and you have structure, but because your players are people, they can make an infinite amount of decisions, and you always have to roll with that. And I was also really drawn by the emotional aspect of LARPing. Like, you know, like, I love puzzle rooms. Like, Kelly and I both have that in common. I love solving puzzles. I love getting my hands into puzzles. But you kind of solve the puzzle and you're like, yay. Whereas in LARPing, you can solve something and you know, you've done something that kind of has more of a greater meaning. And even though it's all a fictional world, it kind of builds. You know, when you lose something in a LARP, it has more impact. Than so that was something with me into this game jam. She talked to me about the Club Drosselmeyer idea. I'd be onto something because we both love immersive theater and we both love puzzle rooms, and we're both gamers, but we're coming at it from two different sides. And what I wasn't understanding is, like, the structure of gaming outside of LARPing. And she needed somebody who really understood theater. And we've had a really great go of it. We've had a really great go of figuring out, like, where the missing links are, like, kind of like the unshaded section of the Venn diagram. And we're kind of constantly discovering that, of how you structure a game and you leave it also open enough so that the audience really has ownership over their decisions and the outcome. I mean, we have how many different endings do we have planned?
I think we're at three or four right now, but it changes, you know? I mean, it's constantly shifting with the story, you know? Like, things happen in the story that we're not expecting. Sometimes it feels like the story's happening outside of actual control.
And I think it's been such a fun process, too, in trying to prepare our actors, because it's, you know, we can rehearse their story a thousand times, and then we put it through our first game test, and our players did something where we're like, oh. And anything your players do kind of has to become canon. Like, it has to be real and you have to embrace it. So
if I can, sorry, understand this correctly. So you've tried to meld a theater event with an escape room, but with a LARP elements. Is this correct? So what you're hoping is that there's going to be probably 100 people that are playing at the same time. Is that around it? Yep. And so you have about 100 people playing around. And these people can change the event so that you can have multiple endings. And so maybe the 100 people only experience one of those endings. Is that correct?
Right. So it's about 100 people, and there will only be one ending. And actually, something we've been really working on is how to create the greatest amount of access to the game while also kind of keeping the game moving in a focused direction. Like, we can't predict the ending, but making sure, like, there aren't multiple different endings possibly occurring. And that's kind of tested both of our in design and structure. But I think we're actually getting it to really work.
So you have a number of performances also happening throughout this event as well. So you mentioned there's going to be a band, like a huge brass band, if I understand. How many people are playing in that band?
It's an eight-piece swing band.
An eight-piece swing band. That's great. Who are they? So they're an actual band, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a fantastic band. It's one of my favorite bands. Rocco and the Stompers is a Boston area swing band. Danny Fertina, a.k.a. Rocco, is...
He's amazing.
Amazing. He's a band leader and just a great guy. He said to Danny, hey, Danny, you know, you think you can rewrite the Nutcracker into Swing Time for an 8-piece band? And he said, yeah, sure, no problem. So he has rewritten all the major pieces of the Nutcracker into Swing Time. And, you know, we're Lindy Hoppers, and so we're pretty specific about the pieces that we can dance to. And Danny has rewritten all of them, and they're awesome, and they're danceable. And they were, it was sort of surprisingly film noir in a way that I wasn't expecting, but that's kind of Danny.
So in regards to swing dancing, would the people who are attending also have to know how to swing dance? That sounds like intimidating. Or is there enough room for 100 people to swing dance?
Well, there is actually. Yeah, so the room is pretty big. I mean, we're the people at Oberon, which is this incredible theater. It's part of the American Repertory Theater in Harvard Square in Cambridge. They are letting us use their black box theater for this project. You know, they really like experimental theater, and they just so much to sort of support the community to build new kinds of stuff. And we've got a pretty good-sized black box theater, and we're going to kind of move all of the tables around so that there's a big open dance floor. You don't have to know how to dance. There will be people there to teach you how to dance.
Okay. I say that a lot of what I think is so interesting about this project is there's so many levels of entry. You know, like we have the cabaret going on. So for people, like I can think of a few friends off the top of my head where one wants to really come and play and the other one really doesn't. So you can buy a ticket, you can come and you can be part of this cabaret, and there, you know, you can have cocktails and you can watch this beautiful 1939 Nutcracker in this very beautiful world. You know, and you can get up and dance if you want to, and then you can also engage in the game. And, you know, so like it's, you have multiple points, like multiple levels of entry, multiple points of entry. And because it's so nice, the Oberon is, it's a cabaret club theater. So it does a lot of the work for us. It's such an incredible space.
And so, and it's running December 11th and the 16th, is it?
Correct.
Yep.
So December 11th, there are tickets open now, and there's also for December 16th. You only have two shows, and it's in the Boston area. And you have an Indiegogo, a crowdfunding campaign going on right now. Is this correct?
We do, and we have the best perks. I mean, if I do say so myself.
I was looking at the perks, and I was like, if I lived in the Boston area, I would totally get my hair done for the show.
Yeah, that's right. You have you can have your hair done, probably some costuming things done as well, yeah, as one of the perks. There's a variety of different perks there. And I think, I can't remember the URL for it's, I just can't spell it. I think I have it on here somewhere. We will post that. We will post it in the description anyway, if you want to find. I think I might find it. Let's see if I can know. I had it linked somewhere. I was linking it all over our Slack chat.
Yeah, you were.
Thank you. Thank you for linking it all over your Slack chat.
I found it.
There we go.
We get super excited when things like this come up.
So if you search for Drosselmeyer on the Indiegogo site, Club Drosselmeyer, you'll find all sorts of things there. As of this recording, there are 6 days left. And they need to reach their goal. So I would suggest people go and check it out. This is in the Boston area, so it is a local thing, but it looks really cool. If it wasn't for the fact that it was in December, I would actually want to go this. I'm serious, even though I'm not close to you guys, but we're relatively close.
Close-ish,
right?
Yeah.
And the reason that we were really excited about this, because we had the exact same feeling, the exact same concerns.
Yes.
We wanted to have interactive theater that had people have more of an autonomous role other than watching, just like you wrote out on your Indiegogo page. And so that's why we ran our events as well. Our events were only 80 people, so, and it didn't have as many, I mean, we had a large cast, but we didn't have like...
We didn't have an 8-piece swing band.
No, that sounds really cool.
And dancers.
Like 25. Yes.
Now, did you cast your actors or did
I can't hear that mic.
Oh, sorry. Is that louder?
I'm sorry. I can't hear your mic.
Yeah.
Can you hear us at all?
I can hear your mic.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It might just be picking up the computer mic. As how's that, by the way? Better? Yay. So did you cast the actors in your show, or did you pull your friends or pull any favors that you could?
I would say we mostly just pulled our friends. I would say it's a lot of dancers and a couple LARPers.
Mm-hmm.
We already had the dancers. It was really easy for me to cast the dancers because I'm a Lindy Hopper and I have a team. I knew that people are used to my antics, essentially. So I had already cast a lot of it. I know people put up with me for other crazy things. And then I met Carly, and Carly pulled a couple of her LARP actresses on as well.
Yeah, when I mentioned it to my LARPers, and they were like, oh my gosh, how do I get in on that? And luckily we had a few characters we were still developing. So there were some spaces open, and it's been really fun to kind of get the two worlds together.
So how many actors do you think you have for Club Drosselmeyer?
We've got 15 actors.
15, woohoo!
Yeah, so we've got 15 actors, and I believe we've got 12 dancers. And there's a little bit of crossover. So out of our 15 actors, I think 7 of them are part of a dance.
And so did both of you come up with the plot and the story for this as well?
The initial story was mine. But then when Carly came on, it just sort of organically grew. Carly had a lot of ideas and input about different ways that different characters went. Like the most recent character is Carly.
Oh, so you're still adding more and more people and characters to the game?
We're doing more adaptation. Like, Matt Kellyan, she already had this incredible, incredible storyline imagined, and she had this whole world conceived. And so coming on as a director, it was kind of nice because it was almost like working with a script. But as we've been playing it through, and when we first got working together, it was just, we were writing like crazy, and there's pages and Google Docs. And as we've been playing it, we've been trying to condense, and we've been trying to concentrate things so they're very clear and information is very accessible to our players. So there are some characters that we've had to rewrite, our latest character, we literally had to invent out of a necessity of how the players were interacting with her. So she had one character, and the way the players were interacting with her was telling us that we had a gap. We needed a different character to be represented. So we're taking that information from our players and developing a new character for this actress to meet the player need. Even though we love the backstory we wrote for her, we have to come up with something different. So,
wow. So, and it's next month. So you guys must be like nervous maybe, or excited?
I'm really happy to launch it because it's been in development for so long, and you get to that point where it's like you can just refine forever. I call it the bold unbold, right? Where like you look at that document that you've been writing for the last 10 hours and you're like, bold, unbold, no bold, no unbold, no unbold, I feel like I'm getting very close to the bold, unbold line of this show. So, like, next month, actually, it's time. It's time for it to go. It's ready for this baby to be out.
Nice.
I feel like our actors are getting antsy, too. I feel like they've transitioned from, like, nervous and not really knowing what this world is. And then we started playtesting it. And I feel like they're getting more antsy to do it. Like, they kind of want to just, like, attack it. So
it's handy having LARPers be some of the actors as well, I'm sure, because they're used
to...
No,
can't hear you.
No? Really? How about now?
Oh, no, we can't hear you guys.
No. But you can hear me. You just can't hear Amanda?
What?
Oh, now it's working.
Now it's working.
Oh, a little bit. Get closer to the mic.
Is it the computer mic?
No, just talking to the mic.
Like, how's this? It's not picking up at all.
No.
I can see the little dots not picking
up. So weird.
But it picks up for me.
Is there another mic, Errol, that's close to you that's not close to Amanda?
Hello? This one?
No, that mic's not on. I can even just go over here. Look, it picks up for me here.
Okay,
that's so bizarre.
It can't hear you.
Can you ask them some questions?
Wow, the mic can't hear you. What up?
Hello? Are you...
What?
Okay, talk.
That's the weirdest thing ever.
Are we sure it's not this one?
But no, but I'm talking and it's recording. It's just not picking you up, man pants.
It's picking me up on this one, I think.
Okay, I'm sorry. It seems Google Hangouts doesn't like Manda. So you can't. It's the weirdest thing. I can talk. We have a nice bar that shows that my voice is picking up.
How about my...
But yours isn't, and it makes no sense. Both mics pointed away from us, and if it is this mic here, it's not like, wow, that is cool.
It's the strangest thing ever. So I might as well just talk into this mic, which is my mic anyway. I don't know, Manda. I don't know why that thing will not pick up your voice. That's the most glorious thing ever.
It's okay. I'm just gonna say the LARPers.
Oh yeah! Wow, that is crazy.
Wait, it was doing it just now.
No, that was just me talking. It doesn't seem to pick you up, but that mic will pick you up.
Okay.
So just not this mic. I'm sorry. Anyway, this is like five minutes on why why Google Hangouts hates Manda.
So I was gonna ask about LARPers being good, like at crowd control.
So Manda's asking, would LARPers be good at crowd control?
Are LARPers good at crowd control?
Or they would be, I guess.
Or they would be, I guess. I'm just repeating man pans now.
Yeah. No, actually, that's one reason I was really glad to get some LARPers on board, is because actually it's been funny. Like Kelly and I have been kind of my first foray into this kind of design. And so we've been isolating, like, what exactly are the LARPer skills in gaming? And one thing that we do really well is we manage groups really well. So we manage information. We understand how to make sure a whole group is included in something. Also, LARPers who have done NPCing, so LARPers who've worked for the plot, know how to gather information. They know how to keep things moving. So we have all these puzzles, and we have all these plot lines, and my LARPers have really tackled onto the idea of, you know, grabbing onto the players and getting them to do the puzzles and then getting them to bring them back and getting them to kind of engage with the information they have to kind of guide them through the storyline. So I'm hoping a lot of my LARPer friends will come in the show. A, because they're my friends, and B, because I think they will have an enormously good time playing through this kind of hybrid puzzle room kind of like thing. Volunteer crowd control people. But yeah, it's a lot of it is kind of learning the skill of how to kind of figure out who's really interested and who's really engaged, and keeping them engaged and then connecting them to people and trying to get those very engaged players to kind of loop in some people who are like kind of interested, so that you can build teams and you can make connections between other players. Because the best thing out of, you know, as this storyline develops, is we want the players to actually be interacting more with each other than necessarily with our actors, because that means they've taken ownership over the storyline. And, you know, like one of my favorite moments in the first playtest was one of the players came up to me and he was like, I want to go for this bad ending. Like, he had this idea and it was going to lead to the terrible ending. And I'm like, because they always do. So in my character, I was like, you know, it's going to happen if you do that. And he was like, yeah, and I'm okay with it. And then, like, this girl in his group leaned over to me as when he turned away, and she's like, I'm planning on stopping him. And I was like, yes, we have intrigue within the play. And that's really the best, because that's when your players leave. That it makes it more fun for everybody. So a lot of what I'm counting on my LARPers to do is to kind of figure out who the best players are, connect them with really strong groups, and then almost pit them against each other. To get that story really in their hands, so that they get to kind of make their own decisions and they get to kind of guide the story in their own direction.
So people could probably come probably in as singles, or they can come as a large group, but they all just Is it a free for all, or are they in teams or in groups, or how does that work?
So the way you interact with our NPCs is on kind of a small group basis. So like, you know, it's small individual conversations. There's no large performance of the storyline. So like, if you come alone, you have equal opportunity to access the storyline as somebody who comes in a group of eight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about getting to sit down and talking to our actors. If someone does come by themselves, we will encourage them to work with other PCs because it'll make everything a lot easier. But you can do this as a solo, and you can do this with as big a group as you like to work with. Again, that's kind of the beauty of LARPing. LARPing really encourages teamwork, but it's really in the player's hands as to how they want to live and exist in the world that we create for them. So again, we're kind of leaning away from the idea of like, no, you need three people to solve this puzzle, or like, no, you need to be in a group of 10. It's really, you know, again, I think if you come by yourself, you're going to end up wanting to work with other people, but you get to play the game kind of under your own terms. And our actors are, we're prepping our actors to be ready for that. And to kind of, again, we'll encourage groups, but it's really about the player having the experience that they want to engage with.
And how long is the night?
Oh, should be somewhere around two hours.
Cool. So it's going to go for 2 hours. That's amazing.
Well, we've got short.
Well, it is short. I agree. Because if by the sounds of it, you have a lot happening. If people want to dance, if people want to solve a puzzle, if they want to figure out what the plot is, you probably have enough plot in there to cover 5 hours. So
yeah.
To cover 150 players.
Yeah, yeah. 150 players?
Yeah, that's what the capacity is.
Wow. It's gonna be a lot of people.
But it does all tie together. Like there's an opportunity to I don't wanna give, it's so hard to like talk about it but not give anything away.
So much good stuff.
But like for example, like the dancing is tied into how the storyline advances. So it's not like, and now we're going to dance, and now we're going to solve a puzzle, and now we're going to do some mm-hmm. morphing. It all mixes in. So one thing actually we're working on like basically right now is the integration of multiple solves. You know, it's something we have in LARPing is there's always a multiple solve. Like one puzzle has to have four to be solved, not to make it easier, but because you're working in a very dynamic and three-dimensional world and people are coming in with unknown skill sets. So every puzzle's got like a role play option. It's got a puzzle option. It's got, you know, a mixed format solve. So there's a lot of different ways to the storylines have access to the plot. So in that way, we've written a lot, but that's also to facilitate the movement of the storyline. So it doesn't bottleneck and it's not dependent on, you know, a puzzle being solved one way or by a specific person. It's so that as, you know, like if somebody comes up and they have an amazing role play interaction, you know, we might be like, you know what, that would actually solve this problem. Or, you know, they can think around it. So there's a lot to get done, but it moves really quickly and it's designed to move.
Cool. Just for our listeners to know, this is happening December 11th and December 16th. They have an Indiegogo. It's Club Drosselmeyer, and you should go check it out if you're in the Boston area, or even if you're not in the Boston area, go ahead and check it out, see what they're doing, because it looks really cool. Well, thank you, guys. By all means, if you guys want to like email us or go into our Slack chat and ask questions again, we are quite happy to do so. We're all
and
there.
I can talk there.
And then, yeah, and Man Pants can Google Hangout see you now?
How about now?
Oh, I briefly heard Amanda. It was amazing.
Wow. It is so weird.
What is wrong? There I was. Ah. Oh, higher pitches go.
It like comes in and out.
Wow. But no, I have a lower pitched voice. It's not like, oh my goodness. Oh, maybe it goes when I'm talking with you. Maybe try talking while I'm talking.
Talking.
No.
I think it's picking up some auxiliary mic somewhere.
Yeah, I just, you know, this is, I just have one on my body and I just want to make sure it only picks up me.
Right, exactly.
I'm like, yes, ask me the questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man Pans has nothing to say, so we don't give her mic. No, you have many things. It's killing her. Anyway, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you. I hope it goes well for you guys. Once again, Club Drosselmeyer. You guys can find them on Indiegogo, and it sounds like it's going to be an amazing time. You just heard from Carly and Kellyanne, two of the main organizers of this amazing event, and you guys should go check it out. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm waving here. People who are listening can't hear see us wave, though, but we are waving, and we're all happy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. You too. Good night.
Oh, I can't find my mouse. My mouse is stuck. Oh, I got to use this mouse. Here we are. There we go. Yee-boo!